Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Luke's English Podcast. It's been a good weekend, and I've had a very good day today. I hope you have too. Wherever you are in the world, whatever you're doing, whether you're listening to this on your own, maybe you're just sort of sitting there on your own in front of the computer. You could be in, you know, company. There might be people around you. Who knows? Maybe you're listening to this on your iPod or your iPhone or something. I've no idea what situation you might be in listening to this. Hello to anyone else who might be there with you. You know, well done. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. Congratulations for listening in. You know, if you think if it's the first time you've ever listened to this, then do keep listening, because you're becoming part of an ever-growing community of listeners around the world who regularly enjoy the benefits of Luke's English Podcast. So welcome to the club, basically. Now, one of the main things I want to tell you in this episode is basically I'd like you to do me a favour. Could you do me a favour, please? And that is, I'd like you to vote for me in an awards competition which is being held by Macmillan Dictionaries. Now, Macmillan are a publisher, and they publish very, very well respected English dictionaries and learning aids for people like you, right? And so what they've done is they've created a competition in which people can vote for the best English learning website or the best English learning blog on the internet. And I discovered this recently as one of my listeners told me about it on Facebook. And so I thought, wow, I've got to get involved in this. I've got to try and win this competition, because I've been doing Luke's English Podcast for nearly 3 years, and I've been working pretty hard. There are at least 80 episodes of it available now, which is really a large, large body of work, I think. And if you're new to the podcast and you've just discovered 80 episodes, that's, I'm not sure how many hours of Luke's English Podcast that is, but that's a long time. That's at least a few days of just listening to Luke's English Podcast. And you can learn a hell of a lot from all of those episodes, all kinds of things, particularly items of vocabulary. And you can learn a lot about understanding different kinds of accents that you might hear. And also, hopefully, you just enjoy listening while you're doing it. So I get regularly sort of at least 1,000 downloads every day now, which is quite a lot. So I just think to myself, right, if maybe just, let's say, half of my listeners or three quarters of my listeners voted for me in this competition, I might even be able to win it, right? Now, I reckon I need about 1,000 votes. Okay, because there's another website on there called Film English, and they've got about 950. So I think I need to get to 1,000 in order to win this. And the voting closes on the 30th of January. So I've got about, let's say, about 15 days to try and get to 1,000 votes. Now, if you want to vote for me, it's very, very simple. You don't need to register. You don't need to put any details in. You simply go to my webpage first, and there you'll find a link. So my webpage, you probably know, is http://teacherluke.podomatic.com. Or alternatively, you can just go to Google and do a search for Luke's English Podcast. And it's hosted by Podomatic. So if you go there, you will find a link on the page appropriate to this episode. And you just click that link and it'll take you to another page and scroll down, and you'll find Luke's English Podcast with a number next to it and then a vote button. So just simply click the vote button, and that will add another vote to my list. Okay. Now, you can only vote once from one IP address. So if you vote once from your home, for example, you won't be able to vote from your home again, so you'll need to vote somewhere else. Maybe if you vote at home and vote at work, that would help. You could perhaps tell some people about it and ask them to vote. It's very simple. You don't need to register at all. That would really help. I've been asking all my friends and my family to vote for me, of course, and I've invited listeners to this podcast to vote for me already on Facebook. So if you want to vote, you can go to Facebook as well, and you can find the link there. My Facebook page is called Luke's English Podcast. As well as that, of course, you can go to Twitter, and there my name is at English Podcast, and you can find links to the webpage on how to vote there as well. So please do vote for me, because if I win, my prize that I get from Macmillan is a dictionary. So I get a really fantastic dictionary from Macmillan. And also I get the right to advertise, or at least say on my webpage, that I won the award. So I get a kind of badge which I can post on my website. And I think that would be a really, really good way of further raising the profile of Luke's English Podcast, so that eventually I could spend more time on this. Because if it becomes well established, there might be ways for me to continue doing this on a bigger scale, perhaps. I might be able to do episodes more regularly. I might be able to build a whole website with lots of different functions and maybe some exercises where you can practice various things. So I might be able to build something else. So I think it's a good way of starting to push the podcast kind of up to another level, perhaps, because I think I'm getting enough listeners. I must be, because my statistics tell me that I'm getting between 1,000 and 2,500 downloads every day, which is really massive amounts. I'm now spending quite a lot of money on my bandwidth and my storage space, and that's at I've now get 30 gigabytes of storage space and 3 terabytes of bandwidth allowance, which is an incredible amount. And usually by the end of the month, I exceed my bandwidth allowance. I often transfer about 3.5 terabytes of data in a month, which is just unbelievable as far as I'm concerned, but I'm very happy about it. So if some of those people voted, I might be able to win. Now, what I'm going to do is, as an incentive for you to vote for me and for you to continue listening to Luke's English Podcast, I will create my own competition, Luke's English Podcast competition, and you will have the opportunity to win the dictionary. So if I win the dictionary from Macmillan, then I will give it to one of my listeners as a special prize in my own competition. So fingers crossed we will win, and then one of you will have a chance to get your hands on that lovely dictionary from Macmillan, which I think we all agree would help your English very, very much. Don't forget also, you can see all my videos on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and type Luke's English Podcast, and there you can see all the videos that I've uploaded, which include interviews with people in the street, a couple of other interesting pieces. So do check those out. There's full transcripts available for all those videos. Of course, on Twitter, I quite regularly tweet these days, and I tweet all sorts of things like little jokes or maybe pictures of things that I've seen. I sometimes teach bits of vocabulary in my tweets. So do follow me on Twitter and on Facebook as well. I share all my things on there, and I kind of ask people questions, and I get feedback through Facebook. So do get involved and just sign into those things. It's quite a lot of fun. Now, just thinking of this idea of voting, right? Because obviously I want you to vote. I really want you to vote for Luke's English Podcast. I was thinking about all the vocabulary and language which we associate with the word vote. And so it just made me think of loads and loads of vocabulary for politics. So I think now I'm going to just tell you some of the things that I thought of. And these are all bits of vocabulary that relate to politics and voting. So first of all, we have the word vote, right? To vote as a verb. I'm going to vote for Tony Blair, for example, right? And that's the verb, but also a noun, a vote. So we're going to have a vote to decide what we're going to do. So we're going to have a vote in order to make a decision, for example, to vote and to have a vote. Similarly, as a synonym, you can have to elect or to have an election, right? note, if you're perhaps a Japanese speaker, that word can be a little bit tricky to pronounce, election, right? Because you have to get the L sound, election. Now, if you, as you may know, Japanese speakers do have some problems with the R and L sounds, and often they're the same. So make sure you do get the L sound right on that word, election, because otherwise could be a little bit embarrassing. Just a little bit of advice there. So to elect someone would be to kind of choose that person. If there's going to be an election where there's a number of people that you can vote for, if you elect one person, that means that most people chose that person and they then became the prime minister. So they were elected in an election because they got more votes than everyone else. Okay. You can also say to cast a vote, and that's where you kind of make your vote. You cast your vote, or possibly take a vote as well. So if you're in a meeting, for example, and you're trying to make a decision, you'd say, okay, let's take a vote. And either you would cast your vote on a piece of paper in a box or something, or you would do it by show of hands. By show of hands. So if you take a vote by show of hands, that means that you decide by putting your hand in the air. So it'd be like, okay, what shall we do? Shall we launch the product or not? So let's vote by show of hands for yes, and then everyone puts their hand up, for example, by show of hands. Let's see, in an election, like a political election, particularly here in the UK, when you vote, you go to a polling booth, polling, so P-O-L-L, ING, polling booth, and that's the place where you actually vote for someone. And inside the polling booth, now usually a polling booth is like a children's school or like primary school or some public building like that. So on election day, you'd walk down to the polling booth and you go in and you cast your vote. And you do that in a ballot box. Ballot box. So the piece of paper that you tick, that's your ballot paper. And when you've ticked a name, you take it to the box and you put it into the ballot box. So the ballots are the papers which are used in order to cast a vote. Okay, and all those ballots are then collected and counted. Okay, and then finally the results are calculated and we know who's been elected. Okay, so that's a polling booth. Also, we have polls, which are like predictions. So if, for example, there's going to be a general election for a new government, there might be polls which tell you what we expect is going to happen. So the polls suggest that Labour are going to win, for example, polls. Of course, you have candidates in elections, and these are the people who've put themselves forward for the chance to become the leader. So, of course, at the moment, we've got an American election coming up, and the candidates are getting themselves ready. I think probably Barack Obama is still the top candidate, but we will see. Obviously, when candidates put themselves forward for an election, they then enter into a campaign. So often in America, the presidential campaigns are incredibly expensive publicity machines, which kind of go around drumming up support for that candidate. It happens in the UK as well. Before a general election, the parties kind of try to drum up a lot of support with advertising and so on, lots of publicity. Now, in the UK, when you vote, we have a certain kind of system here. So our system is called first past the post, right? And in that system, the country is divided up into different, what are they called now, little regions, little political constituencies. So the country is divided into constituencies, and each constituency is represented by one seat in the House of Commons. Okay, now everyone knows a symbol of London is Big Ben next to the River Thames, the big tower, and that's attached to the Houses of Parliament. And in the Houses of Parliament, we have two chambers. We have the House of Commons and the House of Lords. Okay, now actually, Big Ben is not the name of the tower and it's not the name of the clock. It's actually the name of the bell inside the tower. That's Big Ben. That's a common sort of misconception. People think that the clock or the tower is called Big Ben. Actually, it's the bell inside. And it's got a very, very sort of, let's see, very well-known sound, the chime of Big Ben on the hour, every hour. It's a very well-known sound. And Big Ben is a very big bell. And so it kind of goes, dong, bong, you know, very loudly. It's brilliant. So, yeah, two chambers, House of Commons, House of Lords. In the House of Commons, that's where the government sits and all of the members of Parliament who've been voted for in the elections. And they decide on new laws and all kinds of other big decisions involved in running the country, okay? As well as that, you've got the House of Lords, and that's a secondary chamber. And the Lords are made up of either people who've been chosen by select committees organised by the government. So either they've been chosen by the government to sit in the House of Lords, or they inherited their position from their father, right? Now, that's the old-fashioned system of the peerage. And so certain Lords actually inherit their title from their fathers. And that's an extremely old-fashioned method of selecting representatives in like a parliament, for example. And yet it still goes on. But I believe that that will probably stop before long. And they're going to stop that system. But the other half, well, the other lords are actually picked by the government. And they are usually very expert people with very good judgment, very respected opinions. And they sit in committee in order to kind of evaluate any law which is passed by the House of Commons, right? So it's like another chamber where they decide, like make secondary important decisions. It used to also be the highest court of appeal in the country, but that's moved to the, what's it called now? I can't remember the name of it now. But anyway, the Lords also used to make judicial decisions, but that's been moved now. I can't, for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of the place where they now live. But it doesn't really matter. Anyway, it's just another high court. But in the House of Commons, that's where the politicians, the members of Parliament, sit. So each seat in the House of Commons, you might know the House of Commons from TV or something. It's quite famous because it's different to other sort of Parliament buildings, government buildings, because the main chamber has seats that face each other. So there's like two sides, and all the politicians sit and face each other across this room. And the atmosphere in there is like very loud and really aggressive. So they shout at each other, they disagree loudly, they laugh at each other. There's lots of sort of camaraderie and jokes, and they make fun of each other and so on. It's very boisterous, very loud, almost aggressive atmosphere in there. So each seat is represents a constituency area in the UK, right? And so when you vote for a political party to be the representative of your area. Okay. Now, if your party wins that area, then their representative member of parliament sits in that seat in the House. Okay. So basically, the party which got the most votes overall, the one that let's say has taken the most number of seats in the House, they become the government. Okay. So they have to win by a big majority. I believe it's 40%. I might be wrong. But they have to win by a majority, and if they do that, then they become the government. Then the largest party, you know, the second party, becomes the opposition. Okay? Now, sometimes the vote is kind of split, like quite equally. And that happened recently when we had like a quite an equal vote cast, and so the Conservative Party didn't get an outright majority. So they teamed up with the Liberal Democrats, and they became like a team government, the two of them together, and that's known as a coalition. A coalition government is like a combination of different parties. And there's a lot of compromise and often a lot of friction in coalition governments, because often the parties actually stand for different things, which I think may be the case in our government at the moment. So there you go. The other different kind of voting would be proportional representation. And that's where simply the votes are all counted, and the party that gets the highest number of votes is the government. And so that's a common system in many places. I mentioned the opposition. That's the other party that sits on the other side of the House, and they take a kind of contrary position against the government. The government, when they come into power, they have ministers, of course, and then there's like higher level ministers, and they would be cabinet ministers. Now, the cabinet is like a select, let's say, committee or group of members of parliament, which have been chosen by the leader of that parliament, and they gather around him and they become the most important ministers. And so they have things like Minister for Foreign Affairs or Education or Trade, for Finance, things like that. Okay, so you've got the Prime Minister at the top. In this case, at the moment, it's David Cameron for the Conservative Party. And then around him, he's chosen his cabinet, and those are like the ministers for different ministries in the government. Okay, so there you go. That's like your basic democratic election.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, now above, well, not exactly above, but separate to David Cameron, the Prime Minister, we also have the Queen. And the Queen really doesn't have any power exactly. I mean, she has some power, but it's just sort of symbolic, really. David Cameron is the one who makes all the big decisions. But essentially, the Queen represents the state. So she's our sort of state representative. And so the Queen and the state are synonymous with each other, the same thing. And so, for example, if you commit a crime, you would be taken to court and prosecuted by the Crown, or effectively by the Queen. I mean, the Queen doesn't actually go into court and sort of prosecute you herself, but it's done in the name of the Crown, right? So the Queen represents the state. She doesn't really have any power. She meets the Prime Minister every week, every Tuesday. They meet and they chat. They probably have a cup of tea and have a lovely time just sitting and chatting about what's been going on. And also at the beginning of Parliament, when Parliament opens every year, the Queen is involved because she sends a representative to knock on the door of Parliament. And he knocks on the door and there's this routine where he comes in and then they slam the door in his face because he's not welcome. And then he knocks again and they let him in. Okay, now that's kind of symbolic because it represents the fact that there is a division between Parliament and Buckingham Palace. That because there was a civil war many years ago and actually there was a division there. So now it's been brought back together again. And the government is actually the Queen's government, but really she hasn't actually made any decisions. But so there's your basic sort of democracy, I suppose. Now, sometimes in elections, there can be accusations or allegations of cheating. So that's things like corruption. So corruption is when, obviously, people in positions of power abuse that power. They don't serve the public, they serve themselves. It's like cheating. So you get things like vote rigging. So that's where a vote is instead of being fair, it's already been decided. Somehow they cheat in the vote and they do vote rigging. And also miscounting. That's where you don't count the ballots correctly. So you count them wrong. Miscounting. So there you go. Sometimes, you know, power corrupts, doesn't it? And absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? So power corrupts, that's what they say. In fact, around the world, there are various governments which seem to have some level of corruption going on. I'm not going to name any names here, but I think you probably know who I'm talking about. Over the last year or so, there's been lots of problems in various parts of the world with people sort of fighting against their governments, and the governments in some cases fighting back in quite violent ways. And that's always rather depressing when that kind of thing is going on. So in some places you get things like an uprising. That's where people just sort of rise up and fight back against the government, an uprising. It's sometimes, if it's very organised, it could be called a revolution. And that's where, for example, the people rise up and they take control of, let's say, the means of production. I think that's what Karl Marx used to say. He said that society was divided into the proletariat, the workers, and the bourgeoisie. And the bourgeoisie are the ones who control, they own the means of production, and so they have control over society and the ideologies in society. But he believed that the proletariat would rise up and they would take control of the means of production, and then that would be a revolution. And it happens in some places. It's happened in Russia, and it's happened in France and various other places, revolutions. We also have coups, a military coup or a political coup, and coup is spelled C-O-U-P. And a coup is where a leadership is like brought down and replaced with someone else. So a coup, like there was a coup in Iran in the 70s, for example, a famous coup in Iran. But beyond that, the public often will protest against what the government is doing. So you get protests. A protest is like a public demonstration in order to say that you disagree with something. And of course, recently there were the Occupy Wall Street protests, where people in America were going to Wall Street, where the banks were, and they were like camping out there and reclaiming the streets. We got a similar thing here in London, where people kind of camped out in the city of London near St. Paul's Cathedral as a protest against. Really, it was not very clear what they were protesting against, but I believe they were protesting against really the sort of moral decline in capitalist society, which is quite a big topic to deal with. But it seems to be kind of a big deal at the moment. A lot of people seem to think that capitalism isn't really working. And you can see that in the economy, the way that the economies in these capitalist countries are failing because of credit, this big credit crisis where everyone was lending money to each other all over the place, and they were lending these sophisticated financial packages to each other. And in the end, really, they were just lending debt around the world. And that's like lending nothing. So there's like a vacuum of money. The money's run out, and yet we all seem to think we have more than we actually have. So there's not enough money to go around. So, of course, no one is lending money, and that causes businesses to kind of stall and go slow, and that causes recession. And it's very difficult to get out of recession, because on one hand, you could pump a lot of money into the economy, but that's very difficult because you haven't got enough money to pump into the economy, or you kind of let the economy just leave it alone, but then there's the chance it's just going to stagnate and it's not really going to go anywhere. So it's a tricky decision. Also, of course, in London last year we had the famous London riots. Not the first time we've had riots in London, but these ones were pretty big, and those broke out in various parts of the city. It started in Tottenham in northeast London after a man was shot by police, or allegedly shot by police. People in the crowd accused the police of shooting him when he was unarmed, so they believe it was an execution. This is what they believed. And that caused large fighting in the streets and fighting against police. And lots of cars were burned, shops were burned. And in that area, there was fighting on Saturday night. And Sunday night, the fighting increased to other parts of the city. So there was all sorts of big riots all around London, including places like Brixton and where else? Clapham, Ealing, many places in the city. People were sort of destroying everything in the street, burning shops, burning cars, mugging people. What else were they doing? They were also looting. So that's when the rioters smash the windows of shops and go into the shops and steal all the things from inside them, looting. It was absolutely terrible. In fact, while it was happening, some of my friends back in Birmingham were a bit worried about me, and they sent me a text saying, "Oh my God, I've seen the riots on TV. Are you okay?" And of course, I replied by saying, "Yeah, of course I'm fine. I've already got 3 widescreen TVs and a pair of Nike Air trainers, so I'm fine." That was actually a joke, which you might have noticed. If you didn't notice it, you can rewind and just try and find out what the joke was. But if you do rewind and listen to it a couple of times, I think you'll get it, right? You should get it. It wasn't that funny. But anyway, the riots. So these are just examples of, like, when public order goes wrong and people start fighting back against the police. So sometimes the police get heavy against the rioters and they detain rioters. That means, like, catch them and take them to the police station. So you get detention. And, of course, in certain types of situation, there have been reports of, like, prisoners being treated badly in prisons or detention centres. So there are examples of we treat our tourists very well. We don't tend to lock them up. But terrorists, that's what I meant. Tourists, terrorists, they sound kind of the same. Tourists and terrorists. More syllables in terrorists. Anyway, terrorists who were arrested without actually having done something were kept in prison and apparently sort of tortured and stuff. But those are just allegations. I don't know if they're really true or not. That's just what people have said. The word allegation is quite a good word. That's when something is claimed to be true without any evidence. So you would make an allegation in a court and then hopefully you would back it up with some evidence. Right, so that's an allegation. And we use the word allegedly as a way of kind of covering ourselves. So you'd say the police tortured prisoners, allegedly. And that's a way of saying, I'm not saying that, I'm just saying that other people have claimed that to be true. So you can kind of cover yourself against any legal issues. Okay, I think that's pretty much it for this episode, the kind of election special episode of Luke's English Podcast. Please do visit my page, click on the link, and please do vote for me, because I really want to get to 1,000 votes, and then one of you will have the chance to win a fantastic, brand new, fresh Macmillan dictionary. And I think we all agree there's nothing quite as good as the lovely smell of a fresh new dictionary. You know what? I think I might be a bit weird. I might have some kind of weird fetish about this, but I love the smell of a new book, or especially a new dictionary, because, you know, it's like no one has ever opened it before. You open it to, like, the middle pages, smell the pages. Oh, they smell good. Smell those words. Smell all that lovely, pungent vocabulary. Oh, lovely. Can't you wait to get your hands on that flipping brilliant dictionary? I bet you can't. So please do vote for me. There are lots of ways to do it. Just visit my page or Twitter or Facebook or something like that. Now, just to leave you, I'm now going to play you a bit of audio, which you might enjoy, on the subject of elections. Now, this is from Monty Python's Flying Circus. I've played you some of their stuff before. They're a comedy group from the UK, and they were famous for doing comedy in the 70s, quite a long time ago. But the comedy is still quite fresh, in my opinion. Now, this sketch you're going to listen to is called the Election Night Special. Election Night Special. Now, in the UK, whenever there's a big general election, there's a TV show on the BBC called Election Night Special. And it's a very dramatic programme in which they give you all the latest updates on the election and exactly what's happening in every single constituency all around the country. And it's very dramatic and very tense. So what they've done in this sketch is they've made fun of a kind of BBC Election Night Special. And in this election, there are two main parties. Now, usually in the UK, it's the Conservative Party and the Labour Party. But in this sort of silly election, you've got the Sensible Party. So sensible. Sensible means you're kind of well-behaved, you make very careful decisions. You're not stupid at all or silly. You're just sensible, both feet on the ground. Right, so the Sensible Party sounds a bit like the Conservative Party, maybe. Sensible Party. And then the other party is called the Silly Party. right? So the sensible party and the silly party in the election, okay? So you're going to listen to all the results coming through for different constituencies in the Monty Python Election Night Special. And it's very fast and very dramatic. I hope that you can keep up with it. I think I will be able to post a transcript of the Election Night Special. I'm going to try and do that. If I can find the transcript on the internet, I will post it. So enjoy that, and please do vote for me in my own special Election Night Special. Thank you very much for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed this sketch. Cheers. Bye, 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 bye.
And welcome to Election Night Special. There's tremendous excitement here at the moment as we should be getting the first results through any moment now. We're not quite sure where it'll be from. It might be from Leicester or from West Byfleet. The polling's been quite heavy in both areas. Oh, and I'm just getting a buzzing noise in my left ear. And now let's go straight over to Leicester.
And it's a straight fight here at Leicester, and we're expecting the result any moment now. There with the returning officer is Arthur Smith, the sensible candidate, and next to him is Jethro Q. Walrus Titty, the silly candidate with his agent and his silly wife.
Here is the result for Leicester. Arthur J. Smith.
Sensible party.
30,612. Jethro Q. Bonwacket Buzzard Stubble and Boot Walrus Titty.
Silly party.
33,108.
Well, there you have it, the first result of the election there, and the silly party have held Leicester Norman.
Well, pretty much as I predicted, except that the silly party won. I think this is largely due to the number of votes cast,
quite,
Gerald.
Quite.
Well, there's a big swing here to the silly party, but how big a swing, I'm not going to tell you.
I think one should point out here that in this constituency, since the last election, a lot of very silly people have moved into new housing estates, with the result that a lot of sensible voters have moved further down the road, the other side of number 29.
Well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Can I just say this is the first time I've been on television?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time. We're just going straight over to Luton.
Well, here at Luton, it's a three-cornered contest between, from left to right, Alan Jones, sensible party, Tarquin Fintim Limbim, Limbim Bim Bim Bim, Bus Stop for Tank Olay Biscuit Barrel, silly party, and Kevin Phillips Bong, who is running on the slightly silly ticket. And here's the result.
Alan Jones.
Sensible.
9,112. Kevin Phillips Bong.
Slightly silly.
Not. Limbim, limbim, bus stop, for tang, Olay, biscuit barrel.
Silly.
12,441.
Well, there you have it, the first result of the election there as the silly party take Luton Normally.
Well, this is a very significant result. Luton Normally, a very sensible constituency with a high proportion of people who aren't a bit silly, has gone completely gaga.
And we just heard that James Gilbert has with him the winning silly candidate at Luton.
Tarquin, are you pleased with this result?
Oh, yes, me old beauty, I should say so.
Do we have the swing at Luton?
No.
Right, well, I can't add anything to that, Colin.
Can I just say that this is the second time I've been on television?
No, I'm sorry, there isn't time. We're just about to get another result.
And this one is from Harpenden South East. A very interesting constituency, this. In addition to the official silly candidate, there is an unofficial, very silly candidate in the slab of concrete. And he could well split the silly vote here at Harpenden South East.
This is Elsie
Silly.
26,317. Gillette Walker.
Sensible.
26,318.
That was very close.
Malcolm Peter Brown Telescope Adrian Blackpool Rock Stoat Gobbler John Raw Vegetable Norman Michael Edward Jupiter 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 Thomas Moo will give a welcome in William Raindrops keep falling on my Don't sleep in the subway No Smith.
Very silly.
Two.
Well, there you have it. A sensible gain there at Harpenden with the city vote being split.
And we've just heard from Luton that Tony Stratton-Smith has with him there the unsuccessful, slightly silly candidate, Kevin Phillips Bong.
Tell him, Phillips Bong. You polled no votes at all. Not a sausage. Bugger all. Are you at all disappointed with this performance?
Not at all. As I always say, climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every byway, till you find your dream. A dream that will last. All the love you can give, every day of your life, for as long as you live.
All together!
Climb every mountain, ford every stream.
What a very... A very brave Kevin Phillips Bong there. Norman!
And,
Oh, shut up.
Can I just say I've just heard from Luton that my aunt is ill. Possibly gastroenteritis, possibly just catarrh. Gerald.
Right, Colin?
Can I just say he'll never appear on television again?
No, I'm sorry, right. There isn't time, because we have to bring up another few results you may have missed. A little pink pussycat has taken Barrow in Furness. That's a gain from the Liberals there. Rastus Odinga Oginga has taken Wolverhampton Southwest. That's Enoch Powell's old constituency. An important gain there for Darkie Power. Arthur Negus has held Bristol. That's not a result, that's just a bit of gossip. Sir Alec Douglas Hume has taken Oldham for the Stone Dead Party. And a small piece of putty about that big, a cheese mechanic from Dunbar, and two frogs, one called Kipper and the other one not, have all gone in Blackpool Central. And so it's beginning to look like a silly landslide when the prospect of 5 more years of silly government facing us. We... Oh, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm bored.
He's right, you know. It is a bloody waste of time.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.